got Gulf Breeze High School Lady Dolphin varsity volleyball team here today. So I just want to say that the team hit some really big marks this season. They finished the 2024 season with a 30-2 record, the only school in Florida to actually win 30 matches. Lady Dolphins captured their sixth district title in a row, and they won their region in a thrilling five-set match against powerhouse Oviedo. They swept Dwyer to carry the team to the state championship match, where they finished state runner-up. And this year, several of the girls made history. Sarah Frazee became the first player in Gulf Breeze High School history to reach 1,000 digs in her career, and has become the all-time leader in career digs for Gulf Breeze. She was named for a second year in a row the PNJ Defensive Player of the Year, and was named an honorable mention All-American for AVCA, which is a nationwide organization. Bella Satterwhite became the first player in Gulf Breeze history to obtain 1,000 career kills, and also holds the title for the most career kills at Gulf Breeze High School.
This is Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5, which is Tiger Point Gulf Breeze, talking about this at the most recent Santa Rosa County Commission meeting a couple weeks ago. But I thought it was just, it's a nice note to celebrate the big accomplishments made by the Gulf Breeze Lady Dolphins volleyball team. Of course, they had that very controversial call. I don't want to get into it. I frankly don't know enough about the details of it, but I know that the people who know are like, yes, they did. Anyway, so I like that he took some time to celebrate this stuff. And I always think it's good when we can celebrate a few good things, especially on New Year's Eve. You want to take a moment to celebrate these girls and the coach.
Gulf Breeze High School had 8 girls commit to play college volleyball on scholarships, some on indoor and some on beach volleyball.
That's amazing.
Bella Satterwhite is going to University of Southern California. Sarah Frazee is going to SMU. Isabella Beach, University of Southern Mississippi. Sienna Winstrack is going to UT Martin. Leah Kolb is going to St. John's River State College. Allie Hepworth will be going to University of Alabama at Birmingham. Sydney Sutter, Georgia State University. And Estelle Reese, Stanford University. So let's give them a round of applause for that.
No, that's fantastic. 8 girls going on scholarship to play college ball. And then Jasmine King is the coach. And this is, sports is fun for physical activity and for competition, and you learn skills like teamwork. But really, sports is supposed to be part of an overall strategy to make better people. Like all of education is meant to be part of an overall strategy to make better people. And I don't know that we always accomplish that, but that should be the goal. And most coaches, that is their goal. And really, sometimes it's because sports that aren't likely to pay off financially in the long run. And let's be honest that for most players, volleyball is not going to be a profit-making endeavor. Other sports really have almost no profit-making potential to them whatsoever. And that's actually a valuable thing because that means you're not engaging in them to win at all costs so that you can make money in the long run. Think basketball and football primarily, but also sometimes baseball. So the low payoff, financial payoff sports serve more likely as a chance to develop character and build, teamwork ability and build better citizens. I love that Coach King was bragging about not her girls' prowess on the court, but all the things that she sees in them as women.
And something that you just can't write on paper is just how great of people they are. These girls truly are fantastic members of our community. They are known by all the little rec volleyball players that we have at the Gulf Breeze Rec Center. They volunteer all of their free time, which I know that they don't have a lot of, but the free time that they do have, they are getting lots of community service hours. They're at the rec center, whether it's they're doing a shoe drive, giving free shoes and volleyball gear to the youth in our community, or they are working and reffing the little rec league games. They're just fantastic people, and it's not very common to get 14 girls on a volleyball team to all like each other. And this year, and in the years past, but this year especially, these girls really bonded. That's tough. It's high school is tough ages, and these all girls, I could put them all together in a room, intermix them, any two of them, and they would have great conversation. They all truly, truly love each other, and I talk to them all the time about how one day volleyball is going to end, but just being a good person will forever last. And every single one of these girls in front of you is truly, truly, truly a remarkable person and great representations of Gulf Breeze High School and Santa Rosa County. So,
man, what a great coach. I love that. That's fantastic. And, you know, I love that message of one day volleyball will end. Well, let's just say you get too old to hit. You can't jump anymore. Oh, my God. I had the worst. So I'm not tall. I played volleyball in high school and college, but I'm not tall. I was 5'7". I think I'm 5'6" now. But I used to be able to hit pretty well. You know, I could always jump to not quite touch a basketball rim. That was always my limit. I was like an inch short of being able to vertical jump to touch a basketball rim. But which is plenty for volleyball, okay? Oh, my God, my boys, they were doing a jump contest in our house, and we have tall ceilings, and they were, you know, taking a post-it and who can put it the tallest. And they're like, Dad, what can you do? And I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad for me.
Get the trampoline, son.
Oh, my God, this is going to be bad for me. And whatever I did, I'm like, oh, I don't even think I can hit anymore. oh, it's not good. So the spring in the step is not so springy anymore. But anyway, this is great. And by the way, I hadn't done the math, but if 14 girls are on the team and 8 girls are going to college, that's more than half are playing in college. That's really,
that
really
is awesome.
Good. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So congratulations to the Lady Dolphins and to their coach. 6:16 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even 98 rolling through that area through that construction zone is not even backed up yet. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Man, he's just like triffendicular, you know?
Good morning, 6:19 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That's what all of the girls used to always say about me. You're so trippendicular, man.
Oh, boy.
David Wayne is... David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines.
You're going to come to me after that?
I am.
Oh, totally my
Totally appropriate.
He's just like trippendicular, you know?
They're talking about you, too. Young fella.
Well, the final payments from a fund for victims of the late Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff are being sent out. The Department of Justice said Monday the last disbursement of more than $131 million is being sent out to about 23,000 victims around the world. When it's all said and done, more than $4.3 billion will have been paid out. The Taliban says that it will kick out all foreign non-governmental organizations that employ women in Afghanistan. The country's economic ministry posted on X Sunday that failure to comply would result in NGOs losing their right to operate in Afghanistan.
Wait, say that again? So any NGO that even
employs women,
is being
kicked out.
Removed, deported from Afghanistan.
Yes. That is what I'm seeing.
Well, I mean, you got to give them high marks for consistency. I mean, if you're going to, like, you know, hold to your values and hate women, I mean, across the board, and anybody anywhere who does anything contrary to your, you know, ridiculous, extremist, weird, twisted Sharia law version of reality, well, you're going to deprive them of access. You can't have these Western NGOs that employ women coming into your country and showing your women how other women have it.
Right.
I mean, that's just, you know, they can't see the freedom, right? That's not, I'm sorry, go ahead. It's unbelievable. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. You have to give them points for consistency at least. The Stop Campus Hazing Act has been signed into law. The measure was inspired by the story of Danny Santoli, who suffered permanent brain damage 3 years ago after a hazing incident at the University of Missouri. Santoli experienced alcohol poisoning that robbed him of his ability to see, walk, and talk. The legislation requires higher education institutions that participate in federal student aid programs to publicly report hazing incidents in their annual reports.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:22 on News Radio 9, discouraging though it is, about Afghanistan in particular. But, I mean, none of this is a surprise. You know, they're just, you know, living out the entailments of the stuff that they believe. And we knew this kind of stuff would come. January 1st is things move into the public domain. You know, when things, copyrighted protected materials become old enough, they lose their protection. Thousands of film, songs, and books copyrights expire January 1st. That's tomorrow. Virginia Woolf's book, A Room of One's Own. Oh, thank goodness. Sorry, if you're a big fan. The song Ain't Misbehavin', you probably heard of that one by Fats Waller. Marx Brothers feature film The Coconuts. Tintin, I think he's the French, right, detective? And Popeye.
Yes, I was about to mention that one.
Popeye is the one that catches. What's interesting about this, though, remember how Mickey Mouse moved in the public domain a few years ago?
Yes.
But it's not Mickey Mouse, like, in the current iteration. It's Mickey Mouse in the, like, Steamboat Willie kind of era, thin arms and that. And you have to be careful, because if you use elements of the current version that came along later, you can be found in violation of the copyright. Much like Popeye, for example, you know, you can, starting January 1st, you can have a depiction of Popeye, but, for example, Popeye eating spinach came later.
Right.
And so you don't want to run afoul of the existing copyrights of things like that. And, of course, the primary application in the United States, a place where we are always proud of our cultural production. I said it. I didn't laugh till after. Okay, but you know what they've been doing primarily with things like the Winnie the Pooh and Mickey Mouse is turning them into slasher films.
Oh.
Right? Remember there was that Winnie the Pooh horror movie?
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they don't make any money, but that's, you know, the novelty, the, you know, fish out of water kind of concept of the, what they call the incongruity of the comic book character in a different genre gets buzz and attention. Because, you know, when you make a Winnie the Pooh horror film, that makes news. And I remember the various news, I think we might have mentioned, you know, okay, so there are already 3 Popeye slasher flicks in the world.
Now, knowing
I am what I am because I've got this big cleaver. I mean, like, I don't know.
Knowing that you lived in that general area, have you ever been to Chester, Illinois, to that area?
Yeah, I've been through Chester. I don't think we've ever stopped and looked around.
And
like
at
that.
The Popeye store?
I don't know. No.
They have the original building.
Oh.
And in the bottom of it is just a museum type thing where he actually drew the first, and it was a movie theater beforehand. He worked up there drawing.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, every time I go to Southern Illinois, I've got to go to Chester.
I always
I love it.
To me, Southern Illinois is always driving through Metropolis and seeing the Superman stuff.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
On the side of the road kind of thing. Let's see. Popeye didn't start eating spinach until 1932. So you've got a little ways in order to get that one. It's 95 years, so 1929 is when this one happened. The Popeye from 1929, everything that he says is characteristics, that's good, but spinach, you know, maybe want to wait on that element. There's a couple of other. I went through the list of all the things that are going to age out of copyright protection, and you wouldn't care about most of them. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Might just see a minor delay if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going east and westbound. But other than that, that's all I can find. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I thought this, I found this to be kind of a surprising story. Are you a Stephen King fan? Much?
Yeah, I mean, his stuff is
books
good.
Books or movies?
Movies.
Okay, because the books are great.
They don't have very many pictures, so I have a hard time with it.
I haven't read very many of Steve. I've read, like, The Stand and Eyes of the Dragon, which is, a fantasy story that he wrote because his kid, he wanted to have something that he could actually read to his kid, and he couldn't read, you know, like, Christine. You know,
right.
Or whatever. But Stephen King, in his old age, at 77, he owns radio stations. Did you know that? In the Northeast, in Maine? You know,
no.
He's from Maine, right?
Right.
So he's got radio stations. He's got, let's see, three, I think, altogether that he's got. And they're all going silent tonight.
Wait.
They're all going to stop.
I thought they'd
operation.
Be playing, like, audiobooks.
So, no, he's a rock. He's the rock and roll and two others that are going basically silent tonight.
Forever?
He says, I guess. I don't know if he's not selling them or what's going on, but they've been bleeding money for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's got the money. Bleeding money is kind of a funny phrase.
I know. I know.
Anyway, I didn't invent it. That's from the story. let's see. Stephen King said in a statement that while radio across the country has been overtaken by giant corporate broadcasting groups, I've loved being a local, independent owner all these years, kind of like news radio in Cat Country,
right?
You know, except not bleeding money, making money. He says, I've loved the people who have gone to these stations every day and entertained folks, kept the equipment running, and given local advertisers a way to connect with their customers, which we don't, right?
Right.
You know, this is something we're well familiar with. It's very common. In 1983, at the age of 36, he bought a radio station that was rebranded as WZON. The Dead Zone. So see what he did there? Yeah, that's radio owners love to get creative with their call letters.
Oh, they do.
That went through a few variations before closing, and then he reacquired it in 1990. It's WKIT-FM now, which bills itself as Stephen King's rock and roll radio station. Talk about a vanity project, but I love it. I mean,
yeah.
It keeps radio alive. Along with WZON AM. Retro radio, and an adult alternative station, WZLO. Man, I kind of want to move to Maine to listen to the radio. Anyway, general manager for the stations, Ken Wood, says he's sad the era is ending, but happy that it happened. Independent, locally owned radio stations used to be the norm. There are only a few left in Maine, and we're lucky we had these as long as we did.
Right.
Kind of sad, but, you know, also kind of cool that he did it as long as he did. I'll celebrate the good part. This is kind of fascinating to me. There was a story about 450 works of art that had been sold at auction for around $265 million net. You know, so we're talking, you know, $500,000 to $1 million a piece on average. But they're fake. And this is a bust from a couple of weeks ago. Italian officials said one of the biggest busts of counterfeit, and kind of funny to call it a bust of art. But anyway. I don't know if there were any upper body statues. Counterfeit art in the last 15 years, seizing 2,100 pieces painted by European art forgers. Fake works by more than 30 artists, Andy Warhol, Banksy, Pablo Picasso among them. The help of complicit auction houses. The auction houses were involved in the gig, which makes sense because, you know, I mean, not because
they make money too.
But because how would you do it if they weren't?
Right.
You know? New York Times says many of the fakes were knockoff Banksy's and... let's see. There was nothing real in an entire Banksy collection that was put up for sale. Here's my one thought on this. I own like one piece of art. It's a Salvador Dali. I bought it on a cruise. I love it. It's gorgeous. It's not a one of. It's like a woodblock print kind of thing. But it's beautiful. If it's well done, and you didn't know, is it less moving because it was just a fake that you couldn't tell the difference of? This is one of those funny cases where if you found, I mean, I'm sure as an investment, not a great thing, but if you bought the art for the art's sake, does it look different because, I mean, if you couldn't tell the difference, it doesn't look different by definition. So it's just in your head knowing. But did your enjoyment of the painting come from thinking, oh, I've got a Banksy? Or did it come from, that's a really cool piece of art? Because to me, the value of owning art is the art. And even if it's a fraud, it looks so good that who cares?
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Getting ready to ring in the new. President-elect Trump backing House Speaker Mike Johnson in the key vote for House Speaker Friday. South Carolina Congressman Russell Fry on Fox and Friends first, urging the GOP to stay unified.
We should honor President Trump's request, select Mike Johnson as Speaker, and go about the business of enacting his America First agenda.
Disagreement could delay the Electoral College certification of President Trump next Monday. And regrets? He has a few. The Washington Post reports President Biden expressing regret for dropping out and that Merrick Garland as Attorney General was too slow moving the case against Donald Trump. Times Square already locked down with barricades and police checks at every block to keep revelers safe for the ball drop. But no protection from the Fox weather forecast for rain tonight and no umbrellas allowed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 64 degrees. We've got cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola man facing several charges for an alleged drug robbery near the New Asian Grocery and Halal Meat Store on Davis Highway. Pensacola police were called to that store about 2 weeks ago for a shots fired incident. Investigators say they found shell casings and nearly 30 pounds of marijuana at that scene. Surveillance footage reportedly showed a person leaving the glass door of that building. A handprint on that door led investigators to 26-year-old Ladarrell Page, who had three prior felony convictions, including one for principal to the murder of Malik Jenkins back in October of 2019. Page is now being held without bond on charges of grand theft, robbery with a firearm, aggravated assault, and weapons charges as well. New laws going into effect tomorrow. One of those is a crackdown on people harassing first responders. Senate Bill 284 bans people from getting within 25 feet of a working first responder. Warnings will be given, but if people don't back away, they could be arrested. Violators could be on the hook for up to a $500 fine or up to 60 days in jail. Community Health of Northwest Florida reopened all 17 of their locations following a cyber attack last week.
During the holidays, we have shut down all of our systems to make sure that the integrity of our patient information is protected. We have forensic engineers coming in to really do a full-on assessment of where we are and what our next steps need to be.
CEO Chandra Smiley, and she says they decided to reopen so anybody who needs care is able to get it, but facilities may have limited communications ability and patients could experience longer wait times than normal. That cyber attack happened on Tuesday of last week. Santa Rosa County SWAT team got called out after a domestic incident last week.
A guy getting basically into an argument with his wife, pointed a handgun at her, and she got out of the house, and he barricaded himself, and it ended up being a SWAT call out.
Sheriff Bob Johnson, he says SWAT officers were able to take that man into custody without further incident after kicking in the door. But while en route to that call, one of his canine officers was involved in an accident. Both the deputy and the canine were taken to the hospital. Both are now at home and recuperating. Johnson said they are expected to be back at work within a couple of weeks. Florida is paying tribute to Jimmy Carter. Governor DeSantis yesterday called for flags to fly at half staff in honor of the former president. Carter died on Sunday at 100 years old. DeSantis said flags will fly at half staff at all local and state buildings. A bill that recently became law will hold corrupt politicians accountable. That's what Senator Rick Scott said yesterday after the No Corruption Act was signed into law by President Biden. Scott and Nevada Democrat Senator Jackie Rosen pushed for the bill. They say it closes a loophole. Scott says former members of Congress will no longer receive a taxpayer-funded pension while appealing a felony conviction related to their time in office. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. We're looking good as far as I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 is not even showing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Nice sunny weather today with a temperature near 70 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, no going into your New Year's Eve near 46 degrees. New Year's Day, plenty of sunshine, high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we do have 64 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. We've got 60 in Milton. Our next news is at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has told asset manager BlackRock it has until January 10th to accept an agreement that would allow the agency to step up scrutiny of its investments. That's according to Reuters. The FDIC is pushing the firm to adopt a passivity agreement, which provides the regulator with more tools to monitor compliance. Motorists can expect modestly lower prices at the pump in 2025 as inflation eases and amid booming domestic oil production. According to GasBuddy, the nationwide average for gas now sits at $2.98 a gallon, which is down nearly 12 cents from a year ago. Wizz Air says it has signed a new support agreement with defense and aerospace firm RTX's Pratt & Whitney amid engine woes, adding that it expects 40 of its planes to stay grounded through fiscal 2026. The low-cost Hungarian airline said Pratt & Whitney will provide commercial support through the end of 2026. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
News Radio 92.3 remembers Jimmy Carter.
I think we have a nation that is truly great. Not that used to be great or someday will be great again, but one that has an innate character about it that's not adequately recognized.
Jimmy Carter served one term as our 35th president, but since he left office in 1980, he set the gold standard of what a past president of the United States could accomplish. He was a man who used his faith to try to do the right thing, even though it may have cost him politically.
News Radio 92.3.
All you'd ever hear me say is how I picture me with you. That's all you'd ever hear me say. But since you've been gone, I can't breathe for the first time. I'm so moving on, yeah, yeah. Thanks to you, now I get what I want. Since you've been gone.
Good morning, 6:40 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Had a couple of stories about acronym-related things, you know, people of the holy acronym string, LGBTQ2SIA+. What did I see?
Plus the square root and something like that.
And the ampersand and, the hashtag people. I don't know. There is no official anymore because we're watching Lego Masters, which we like the Lego creation shows. And Sophia Bush, this actress from One Tree Hill, and her foundation was, which one did she use? The LGBTQIAS, I think, was what she, and it's just like, you know, you pick your ones to include or not include, you know, all the time. It's always changing. Anyway, a couple of updates here. These are amazing. I mean, just this amazing. This one is on Twitter or X, depending on what you prefer to call it. Celebrating pansexual and panromantic Pride Day.
Huh? What?
Pansexual is okay. So heterosexual is when people of the other sex arouse you,
and right?
Homosexual is when people of the same sex, and pansexual is when every little thing works for you.
Oh.
Pansexual is everything.
Oh.
Pan means everything. You know, panorama is a giant scene. Okay. Pansexual and panromantic. I didn't know those were separate things because I don't know what the distinction would be. Pansexual would be turned on by everything, and panromantic would be, well, turned on by everything. What would be the difference there? I'm not really sure. Okay. I missed it. I didn't properly celebrate it when it happened. Back in early December. But happy pansexual and panromantic Pride Day. Posted on the Health and Human Services Twitter page. Twitter what? Feed.
HHS?
Yeah. The government agency.
Right.
With the following explanation. Today, and this was, let me see, what was the actual date here? December 8th, okay? Today, on all caps, pansexual and all caps, panoramic, I mean, not all caps, but like capitalized properly, pansexual and panromantic Pride Day. PPP Day. Everyone deserves to feel seen, respected, and supported, no matter who they love, should be whom. Create a world. I can't believe I'm quibbling about grammar. Twitter post celebrating the love of everything. Let's create a world where everyone feels proud to be themselves. Rainbow emoji with a picture of This is a blue, pink, and yellow ribbon for Happy Pansexual and Panromantic Pride Day. Department of Health and Human Services. So Stephen Miller,
you can't make this
anyway,
up.
Anyway, no, you think I make up transgressor service stuff. I don't make it up. I mean, I embellish. I don't make it up. Stephen Miller, I make it funnier, but I don't make the thing. I'm like, you know, Memorex, you know, or BASF. Who was it? BASF that always made the, I don't make the sound, I make the sound better. Anyway, Stephen Miller, who previously served in President-elect Donald Trump's first administration, will serve in the upcoming administration as well, responded to the HHS post by noting, quote, sanity is returning to HHS in 43 days. Now less than 43. Fewer than 43. So that's just one. That's just the Biden administration, the Health and Human Services official celebration for Pansexual and Panromantic Pride Day. This one's less entertaining because it's genuinely horrible, but sort of in the vicinity. You'll understand why. In California, if you're an inmate and you claim to be transgender, you know what they do? They move you to the other facility.
Well, wouldn't that be a guy's dream? I mean, just say it and roll on.
Well, let me tell you the story.
Oh, there's the story.
Oh, yeah. Says he is transgender identifying, Dion Carroll, age 52. Tremaine, Dion Carroll, says now that he identifies as a woman, and so they moved him to share a cell with a woman who he raped and got pregnant.
Right. Nothing else to do.
Right. And then he only recently started identifying as transgender since the passage of SB 132, the California State Senate bill, the Transgender Respect, Agency, and Dignity Act, which allows trans persons to be housed in a facility consistent with their gender identity. Systemically, if you say it, rather than on a case-by-case evaluative basis. No psychological evaluation to be done. No evidence of cross-gender hormones or anything. Just you say it and you're in. And so, yeah, they moved him in with a girl, and he raped her and got her pregnant. And now, in the trial against him on the rape charge, you think it's bad? It's worse. In the trial on the rape charge, and there's two other women also who have been victimized by him, the women victims are being required to refer to him as she, her. In the trial. Or they'll face contempt charges.
Really?
And under California law, rape is only something that a man can do. Yeah, I just 6:46 on News Radio 92. See, I told you it was awful. But when you know, look, we talk about the Taliban and we talk about how you got to at least give them points for consistency. I mean, if they're going to hate women, they're going to hate women all the way to the bottom.
Right.
And if you're an NGO, non-governmental entity operating or non-governmental organization operating within their boundaries and you hire women, then you're going to have to leave. You can't be in Afghanistan and have women working for you because you can't have women working because, you know, okay, I mean, you know, give them points for consistency. Well, I mean, heck, give California points for consistency. I mean, we're going to put men who claim to be women with no testing, no verification, no certificate, we're going to put them in women's cells. And even if they rape those women and then they get tried for the rape and then, well, you know, the women have to refer to them, the trans guy who raped her as a... you got to give them points for consistency. Take the insanity all the way to the end of the road. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Well, it's brought to you by the Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 29 not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Since we're on this subject, can I give you another one?
I don't know if I can take much more, man.
Well,
it's early.
I try not to, you know, dwell all the time. Because I could do like just LGBT stories all the time. There's always something. This is from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge Margaret McEwen. And you have a spa in her jurisdiction. And that spa is a it's a Christian-owned spa. It's a women's-only spa. And it's a women's-only spa because the kind of Korean massage or whatever that they do, apparently, I don't really know a whole lot about these things, it's nudity is required. Like, you're not allowed to wear clothes. So they say, we can't have any men inside here, right? Which you think kind of would make sense. This is, let's see, where was this? Olympus Spa, Korean spa, restricted to biological women in Washington State. Okay? Well, she says that's unacceptable because prohibiting men who identify as women from coming into the all-female, all-naked spa is... discriminatory, and it's just like racism.
So that's like the Supreme Court said in Fair, if you have a law that says white applicants only, this is biological women entrance only. It seems to me they're quite parallel there. And you can't have white people only can come into my restaurant.
That's the judge in the oral arguments of the case saying that she thinks that banning biological men from a naked women spa owned and operated by Christians is the same as putting up a whites-only sign at a restaurant.
If you were to leave that on the website, biological women welcome, and then a transgender female shows up at the spa, there's also the same admissions policy, right?
There is.
Can she come in?
If she doesn't have bottom surgery, then the answer is no.
So you're creating, she's trying to create a requirement that they would allow men into the spa, which is another way of having, just not have that spa anymore. Because women are not going to go to that spa anymore, right? If that's the case?
Persons present people who are not vaginally presenting, and forgive me for that, using that those terms, but cannot use the spa.
Are not welcome.
Yes. Okay. And the reason is very practical, is that there is nudity in the spa. It is required.
In 2020, Washington's Human Rights Commission filed a complaint of discrimination against the spa after a transgender-identifying man was denied access to the services. Commission determined that Olympus Spa had violated Washington's law against discrimination, which bars places of public accommodation from restricting customers on the basis of their gender identity. Federal judge subsequently dismissed the spa's lawsuit in response. The spa's lawsuit. The spa argued that the commission was violating its religious, associational, and free speech rights. So, you know, is it just on the face of it that it's insane, or is it the comparison with whites and blacks that's insane? You know, why restrict the nature of the insanity?
Why?
I mean, just this is like,
just let it flow.
This is the kind of stuff that's going on all the time. And like I said, I don't really dwell on these stories a lot. It's New Year's Eve. There's not a lot of news out there. This has kind of been on my leftovers pile for a little while. But I mean, this is where we are, or at least this is where parts of the country are. Not the whole country, not just yet. 651 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Dan Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There is a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Young fella, if you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you. Otherwise, leave it alone.
Good morning, 5653 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the sun is up. Still kind of a weird day out. Kind of overcast and hazy and
some fog out there, too.
It's kind of warm. It's supposed to be like 67 or 68 today. It's kind of a weird day after the cold that we had yesterday. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Cases of norovirus are up sharply across the country. Infectious disease specialist Dr. Robert Sitrenberg says if you get the illness, you'll know it.
It starts suddenly, and you will get nausea, then vomiting and diarrhea, and it becomes so severe that you can become dehydrated from it.
The CDC reported more than 90 known cases of norovirus nationwide for the week of December 5th. That's double the highest number reported between 2021 and 2024.
Normally spread in like congregate settings, right? Isn't that where, like in nursing homes and, you know, shelters and places like that? Isn't that where they see it the most often?
Generally, yeah, okay. That's what I've seen. Lawyers for Angelina Jolie say she and Brad Pitt have now reached a divorce settlement after 8 years. The former couple's split has been one of the longest divorce battles in Hollywood history. And President-elect Trump endorsing current House Speaker Mike Johnson to remain in that role in a Truth Social post on Monday. Trump said, quote, Speaker Mike Johnson is a good, hardworking, religious man. He will do the right thing and will continue to win, end quote. Trump's endorsement comes as the House is set to vote on their new speaker on Friday.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives, to whatever extent there is any.
Right, you're right. There's no accidents to let you know about. Everything is flowing smoothly on 98. Even I-10 through Escambia Bay is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So much, Sean. You know, we've been yesterday, we haven't really much today been talking about it, but talking about the passing of President Carter. And somebody had shared a quote on their Facebook page from President Carter. And again, not the president side, but some of his, you know, observations about ethics and virtue and that kind of stuff. He said at one point, as an evangelical Christian, right, as a Baptist, Southern Baptist, he said, Christianity has been hijacked by people who would have given Jesus himself the boot if he knocked on their door. Oh, man, that is a, yeah, you do have to kind of, that's right. I was actually thinking about this the other day. I'm trying to remember what made me think of it, but I was thinking about how one of the, and if you've never heard this particular argument, this is going to sound weird to you, but one of the best arguments for the authenticity of the Bible that doesn't get made nearly often enough is that no human would make up the Bible. Like, if you were writing a work of fiction, A, you'd make it sort of more believable. And you, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that you wouldn't ever fabricate. There's also all kinds of like historical questions about, you know, when did fiction writing come into play and all that. But just at the bare bones sort of level, even Christians, you know, and this is a mark against us, okay, is we would never invent a book where the hero tells the religious people of the day that they are the wicked ones. That's all the Methodists and the Baptists and the evangelicals, and that's us, right? We're the Pharisees in this story, okay? You know, we would never write a book where he goes to the people who tithe and obey the Sabbath and follow all the rules and give to charity, and you know, he wouldn't go to those. You would never write a book where he says those people are wicked. And then loves to hang out with, you know, prostitutes and tax collectors who are collaborators. You know, like, you know, hangs out with the paralytics and people who have disease and, you know, goes to like Zacchaeus' home. Like, you would never write that. And we know because we don't behave that way. Like, you know, we like other people who are nice and well-behaved, and, I mean, we do ministry, but, you know, it's like ministry. It's like we're doing them a favor. We don't really want to be, like, besties with them or anything. You know, we don't want to invite them to our house. And so this is accurate. You know, when Jimmy Carter says, and I wouldn't say hijack. I would just say that it's the basic problem of Christianity is that all of us don't really believe it. You know, all of us don't really live it, which is, of course, why we need it. But that mark of authenticity of the Bible coming sort of in a weird indirect way from the fact that you would never invent a hero who does this. You know, if you were writing the story of, like, for example, even just like the crucifixion, you know, Jesus would take over. You know, he would rescue Israel from the Romans. You know, he would lay waste to all of the Roman Empire. I mean, you know, like, think about the outcomes you would write if you were writing it as a person. You would never write it this way. I mean, if you went to a movie that ended this way, you'd be like, that's the worst movie ever. I would never. Of course, then you actually understand how that goes and you realize there's more to it than that. But that's kind of the point, is that mark of authenticity is the fact, as he says, that, you know, Christianity, who are the terriblest examples? Us, you know, us all the time. And, you know, me too. I'm very much in the lead of that. So I thought that was a wonderful quote, a horrible quote, because unfortunately it's so true. But, you know, do we look at that example of Christ or what the Bible tells us to do and really, really, really live that way? Well, no. But trying to do it better all the time. Failing, trying to do it better.